So kind of like Claire, I'm going to start out with the kiddos with a few questions. Now, I know some of you are really looking to take Claire's job, so I want to give you a little heads up. So in seminary, they teach you that when you're going to preach on a pericope, you guys say that word, pericope? That's a big fancy seminary word for scripture. When you're going to preach on a pericope, then you should read before it to see what just happened before, and then read after it to see what happens next. And so that doesn't usually change what you're going to say, but it gives you a little extra. You know what I mean? Makes it go a little deeper when you do that. So that way you know what to do when you're up here preaching instead of Claire or myself. So today's scripture was from Matthew 21. Do you guys or any of you know what happened in Matthew 20? Anything? You guys know what happened in Matthew 20? I had to look it up too, so don't feel bad. So in Matthew 20, Jesus is hanging out with the disciples, and he's told them that they're going to go to Jerusalem. And his friends, James and John, they had a mom, kind of like you guys have a mom. They had a mom. I'm positive. And she was kind of embarrassing. Is your mom or dad ever a little embarrassing? Mine too. But that's okay. We love them anyway, right? So James and John's mom said to Jesus, "So when you get all this power, I want James and John to be your right and your left hand," which means she wants them to be Jesus' main guy, the one who had, so they shall share his power. What do you think Jesus thought about that? Anything? You think? All right. Anybody, what do you think Jesus thought about James and John's mom requesting some power for her sons? She was a helicopter mom. Very involved, right? At an older age. Well, Jesus then told her, well, you know, this isn't exactly what you're thinking. My power is about serving others, not about serving myself. And so if James and John want to be at the right hand and the left hand, they're going to be in some service. It's not really going to build them up too much. So it didn't quite pan out the way that everybody had thought. So do you guys know? Oh, and I forgot. He did something else. What did Jesus do a lot in the stories that we hear about him? If somebody was blind, like on his way to Jerusalem, he encouraged people, that's right. On his way to Jerusalem in Matthew 20, he was saying there were some blind guys on the side of the road yelling for him. What do you think Jesus did? He went over to them? What do you think he did? He helped them, that's right. He healed them and gave them sight. And so that's just, you know, kind of guy he was. He saw somebody in need. He helped them out, even when he was going somewhere very important. Maybe not always, but most of the time. Thanks, Claire. So what are we celebrating today?
Eggs.
Yes, we are celebrating eggs. Anybody else? What did you have when you walked in? Ellie? Palms. Yeah, we call this Palm Sunday. Because in the scripture, we read about Jesus coming into Jerusalem and everybody laying down their coats and their palms, right? Yeah, so we'll get into that a little bit more too. But this is Palm Sunday. So I have a question for you guys. If you were planning a parade for a king, a really great king, what would you want to have in your parade? What? Instruments so you could play music?
Riches.
Yeah, you'd want to wear all your gold stuff so you could show off your bling. What else? What? Oh, floats. And candy. A good parade has to have candy that gets thrown out. And beads. That would be pretty awesome, huh? Yeah. Is that the kind of
parade?
Yeah, you like the candy one?
Yeah.
Is that me too. Is that the kind of parade we had coming in this morning? No, it was a little... Yeah, it didn't feel totally like a parade, did it? No. Sometimes on Palm Sunday, we have a big festive parade. This week was a little somber. But do you know what? On that same day that Jesus was coming into town, somebody else was coming to town. Do you guys know who that was? Yeah, the big Roman guy, Pilate. Now, have you guys heard of that name, Pontius Pilate, before?
Yeah.
Yeah, he was the big governor of Rome. So he was the guy in charge. And he came in on a big, big war horse and had his army with him. And, you know, did you ever see their hats? Romans had these crazy hats. They probably looked a little scary. But when we have a parade, how do you feel? Are you pretty excited? Yeah, it's pretty exciting. So the people of Rome were super excited. Yeah, they were happy to have them out there and cheer and wave when Pontius Pilate came into town. And then we hear this story, though, that on the other side of town, Jesus was walking in too. And they may not have had the big, glorious war horses. So if Jesus came in on a donkey, and not just any donkey, but a donkey that was a mom and had a new baby with her, kind of trotting along beside her, what do you think that means about Jesus? How is that different than coming in on the big war horse? Anybody? Ellie? He thought about other people. He was humble, right? He didn't need the attention like Pontius Pilate did, right? Anybody else? Yeah, Eddie? He was thankful. Yes, Jesus was thankful. And so, anybody else? What does that mean that Jesus rode in on the back of a donkey instead of a big war horse? What kind of king does that make Jesus? A humble. Yeah, because donkeys are kind of humble. They're kind of goofy animals. We think of donkeys as being goofy and stubborn. Yeah, they're pretty goofy, aren't they? Yeah. Not materialistic. Yeah, no grand displays of wealth. What? Yeah. So, let's see. All right, see, I skip around. This is where I get in trouble with paper. So, it's important for us to remember that the Romans were in control of everything. They controlled the taxes, and they didn't care about the Jewish people too much. And they were sort of like bullies of that time. What they said went. And the really scary thing was if you didn't believe, not believe, but if you didn't do what the Romans said to do, what happened to you? Does anybody know? They killed you. How did they kill you? Eddie? That's right. They hanged you on a cross, right? And you know what? Oh, they crucified you, exactly. And do you know what? It took a long time for people to die that way. And it was pretty awful. And you know what? The Romans would leave those crosses up with people on them to kind of scare the Jewish people. It's kind of gross. But that's what they did. They had left them up there so that the Jewish people would see that and go, oh, I better step in line. I better stay in good graces of the Romans so I don't end up like that. And so that's why Pontius Pilate came into Rome or came into Jerusalem that same day that Jesus strode in on his donkey. And Pontius Pilate came in on his big war horse, surrounded by his army. He came in because the town of Jerusalem was normally about 4,000 people. You know, nice little small town. And then for the festival of Passover, it got up to like 20,000. So that would be like for us, if we suddenly had 500 people here on a Sunday morning, it'd be really crowded. Claire would have a hard time controlling us. And so Pontius Pilate came in with all of his soldiers, just like the crucifixion, just like the crucifixes that stayed there to let the people know we're watching. And does anybody know what the Passover was? Do any of you kids know about that? It's an old story about Moses. Eddie? No? Okay. So the Passover is the celebration of, remember when the Jews used to be slaves to the Egyptians? A long time. Yeah, Nico? Yeah, it's a Jewish holiday. That's right. It's when they celebrated that God took them away from the Egyptians. That God said, no, I'm going to help you to be free. So on this day that they celebrated their freedom, well, not on the day, but during the festival that they celebrated this freedom, the Romans kept a tight watch on them to make sure that they wouldn't get any crazy ideas about rebellion or insurrection. They didn't want any of that. They wanted to keep it calm, keep it peaceful, so that everything would just stay the same, so that nothing would change. But it didn't. So I'm going to go back to Jesus for a bit. Now, we say that the people who were there when Jesus came in took their branches, laid them on the ground, that they took off their coats and laid them on the ground. Why would they do that? Do you guys know? Anybody? Why would they lay their things on the ground for a donkey and Jesus to step over? Yeah, exactly. A sign of respect. Like, I go right to all those, you know, in Hollywood when we have the big award ceremonies, we roll out the red carpet. It's a sign of respect and honor. But these were people who didn't have much at all. So they took off their coats and laid them on the ground. Now, I've been in parades. I've seen when the donkeys and the, well, not donkeys, but horses go through. It's not really pleasant. There were special surprises left on those coats. Probably got torn up a little bit. And they couldn't just go home and throw them in the washing machine. Like, it wasn't that easy. So this was a sacrifice that they made in trying to honor this Jesus. And why? Why would they do such a thing for somebody who was, you know, not necessarily known to everyone? Building quite a reputation already, but not necessarily known to anyone. Why would they be so excited to see Jesus that they would throw out their clothes? Would you guys be excited to see Jesus?
Yes.
Yeah? Why would you be excited to see Jesus? Anybody?
Nobody.
Why would, Eddie, why would you be excited? Because he's the Son of God. That's right. They had heard some of that, rumors about that. Anybody else? Why would you be excited to see Jesus? He's the only one like him. That's right. He's very unique. Anybody else?
It was a different message
than Yeah, very different message than what was coming in on the other side. It was about peace and love, taking care of those who had needs. Can you imagine if you were blind and stuck just waiting for people to be generous and give to you while you sat there? And here was this man coming to town who could heal you, who could help you to see, who could make you feel things when he spoke and get you excited about life again. That's how they felt about Jesus. They were so excited to have him come and to see, would he really heal people the way that they had heard? Would he reach out to them? Like they had heard about him going, hanging out with prostitutes and tax collectors and all those people you're not supposed to hang out with. And yet here was this man who brought love and kindness and generosity to everybody that he met. They wanted to see what Jesus was going to do for them. And I can't say I blame them. I imagine we'd probably be in a very similar situation if somebody came in. We'd be wanting to clamor around and see what we were going to get out of it, because that's what we do a lot. Now I have to take a quick peek back. And most of all, they had heard rumors that this was the man that was going to free them from the Romans. Like they had previously been freed from the Egyptians. That was going to make a big difference. And so when people were saying, who is this Jesus? Why are those people so crazy and caught up and doing all that nutty stuff like throwing their coats down? Those whisperings started to get out that Jesus is this one who is coming to make us free. And so in that, I want to go back to that thing that they taught me in seminary, where they said, you read behind and you read ahead. So if we read behind, well, we didn't read it, but we talked about it, read behind that Jesus was about service and love, healing and helping. And then when we read ahead, what happens next? Do you guys know? What happens next after Palm Sunday? You guys, what happens next after Palm Sunday? Easter. But what happens before we get to Easter? Eddie, do you remember? No? Well, we say that on Monday, Jesus went into the temple in Jerusalem. And when he went to the temple in Jerusalem, he saw people there. There were people coming for the festival, so they had to bring stuff from long ways away, and they had to bring offerings. And so in some of the places, they used different kind of monies, and they had to change. And sometimes people couldn't afford to carry the animals all that distance to make the sacrifice. So they would get to the temple and buy the animals to sacrifice there. And what Jesus found was that the people of the temple were taking crazy advantage of the poor, and they were exploiting them. And he was furious, so furious, that he pulled a move that only one of my favorite New Jersey housewives that I know has done. He flipped the table. He lost his mind because he was so angry that at the place where people were supposed to be getting love and support, that they were coming to enjoy their faith and celebrate their God and their freedom, these people were getting taken advantage of. So he flipped that table in anger. Do you ever feel like that? Like flipping tables? Yeah, it happens. Last night, I went to a vigil for Syria. And Reverend Claire was there. There were other pastors. And, you know, I think if there would have been any tables available, there would have been some table flipping going on. Because last week, we know that there was a horrible atrocity in Syria, where children and adults were killed and in a horrific way with gases and chemical warfare. And it was horrifying to all of us. And how did we respond? Did we respond as a nation as Jesus would have responded? Or did we respond as Pilate and the Roman Empire responded? We responded with bombs. It didn't quite make sense to me. We have, it's sort of like when you're raising your kids, and no offense to those of you who have done this, because I know that I have done it, but when our kids lash out and hit somebody else, we go swat them on the butt and give them a spanking for hitting somebody else. So we hit them because they hit somebody to tell them that it's wrong. So we bomb Syria to tell them it's wrong for you to kill other people. It doesn't, like, it just doesn't make sense. And it's certainly not the kind of response that our king who enters Jerusalem, that we celebrate this day, the kind of response Jesus would have had. Why? What would Jesus have us do in response? Resist? How? What would Jesus do in that moment? Send aid. Welcome them into our homes. Bring those refugees who are fleeing Syria here to give them safety, to give them food, to give them medicine, to help them heal. And yet we as a nation have said, no, you're not allowed in, because we are afraid of what they might do to us. That is the response of Pilate, of the empire. That is not the loving response of Jesus. And so as we move forward in this Holy Week, let us not forget. You know, it's cliche to say, what would Jesus do? You know, we all, those bracelets were really popular for a while, and it was pretty lame in my opinion. But it's really a good way for us to think, because we can have these knee-jerk reactions. Like, I understand wanting to bomb Syria, to get Bashar al-Assad out of control. But we take on this name of Christian, and we have to decide, does that mean anything? Does that name Christian change how we respond? In the book study, we've been reading Peter Rawlins. And even if you're not in the book study, I highly recommend you get a copy of the book and read it. It's got some owies in there, but the thing that he keeps coming back to, one of the things we talked about last week, is this idea of parable. Do you guys remember what a parable is? It's one of those stories that you can just read it and reread it and look at it from many different ways, and you always see something different. But Peter Rawlins says that a parable is not a parable until we try to live it out. It doesn't matter what, if we call it sacred words or sacred scripture, it doesn't matter until it changes us, until it transforms us so that we change what our response is. And so Jesus is, the story we read, Jesus' entrance into Jerusalem, I think that's a parable. Jesus was not only told parables, but his life was a parable for us. And so if we're going to take on that name of Christian, I think we have to change our behavior and our responses, which means that even when we have that knee-jerk reaction of wanting to change something right now, we need to think, and we need to sincerely not flippantly, but sincerely ask ourselves, what would Jesus have us do in this kind of response? So that we may face that fear and we may welcome those who are in need into our lives, that we may listen to them and love them, and that we may be transformed alongside them. Amen? Amen. Amen.